Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel.
All right. Today's podcast is referring to the middle, the infamous middle of any journey, whether it be going to the grocery store to pick up food or raising children and everything in between, that middle part that the beginning, the exciting beginning has faded and yet the end is nowhere in sight and you're drudging through the middle. So I want to turn it over to Angel. Just give me your impression when you first saw the topic. Like, what was your initial?
Oh, I had two initial thoughts. One was this is a very good subject because everyone has to deal with it. My second is that I don't know how what a good speaker I would be on this subject because I have yet to make it through the middle. I mean, I did it in college, you know, but that's about it, and I didn't do it very well. And that's the only time. I mean, you could say I did it with pregnancy, but pregnancy, you're forced to go through the middle. Once you start it, there's no stopping.
Right.
So the only time where I actually got my way through was college, and I don't know if you can – I mean, you can count it. I got through.
It is. It's, you count anything.
With a 2.6 GPA, 7 years to get a bachelor's degree. And I swear to goodness, I am not making this up. I graduated out of pity. One of my professors finally said, okay, you graduate. Just get out of here.
That's funny.
I'm gonna give you a C just so you can graduate. Go, leave.
Yes. Well, you know what? I did graduate with honors after starting with a 0.4. That's not 4.0. That's a 0.4 my first semester. And 11 years later and like three schools later and maybe 14 different majors later.
So maybe when we talk about the middle, we should mention persistence.
Yes. Yeah. But I guess there's a balance between persistence and moving on to other things that may be your thing. I don't know. Okay, so for you, you've had two times that had really big, hard times of getting through the middle. And you're in the middle of one, of raising kids.
Yeah, that's difficult. But once again, to me, that's kind of like the pregnancy thing. Once you're in, you're in. There's no way to get out. But I have noticed with raising kids, and because I'll escape to my little Warcraft world, you can be forced to do it, but you can do a shitty job.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of, you know, like you're stuck in the middle and you don't like it. You have to do it. So you're not, you know, I'll be yelling at the kids, leave me alone. Go eat that McDonald's. I'm playing Warcraft, you know. I'm not saying always a bad mom, but there are moments.
You lock the door and put your headset on.
Yes. I'm not parenting right now. I'm leveling my priest. Come back later.
Yay. Yes, there's a lot of funny stories I've heard about raising kids, so about those kind of moments of raising kids, giving yourself that moment of a break. And here's something I think is important. Breaks. Getting through the middle, I think you really have to take time to put things in perspective. Because if you never step away from it, it can really drag you down. So say, for instance, if you never gave yourself a break from your kids, then you might lose perspective of what amazing thing you're doing and how much you really do enjoy your kids. You might just get frustrated and angry and stay there. So the Warcraft kind of gives you that like little break away from them.
Yeah, I've already noticed because when the kids were first born, I was kind of 24/7 being a mom. And you really do. After a while, I was just depressed. And when one of the parents is depressed, it seeps through the entire house.
Yeah.
So absolutely, you have to have boundaries and you have to have breaks.
Yeah, I remember just on a side note, a long time ago when I was really young, I worked at a daycare. And I remember the best parents were the ones who had like two or three kids. Because they weren't brand new parents. And if their kid got bitten or whatever, they'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Happens. Some kids bite. That's just the way
Yeah.
it
I have one of those at home.
is.
So, well, let's see. I had the middle of school, college, just trying to make it through. And the middle of graduate school, which is going on right now.
Well, see, I think you're better at this. I think 'cause you are fit. You already have your master's. You're getting your PhD. You went to your seminary and graduated from that. So to me, you are much more successful and much more I still haven't successfully, I don't think, trudged my way through the middle. I always go, "Oh, this is too hard. I give up," and I quit. I still quit.
I think you did a good job, though. I mean, so you've gotten through some really hard things that a lot of other people don't.
See, I guess maybe I'm not giving myself a credit. I don't know. I just see the things that I did get through, with the exception of college. But even college, like I said, it wasn't like I did a stellar job.
Hey, but that, okay, that I think that's not the point. I'll tell you, I had an experience where I had to get through something recently. And it was a long, long process to get there. It was my comprehensive exams. And I studied, I went through all my classes and then I took 6 months to study for this exam. And there was a section where I had to, for 5 days, I would go and write for 4 hours a day and on just essay questions. It could be over, I had four different professors giving me different material to read, like 20 books and 100 papers that I had to get through and remember all this stuff. And then I had 5 days of writing, and if I passed that, then I went to do an oral test where I sat for 2 hours and they just grilled me. So not only did I have to study for 6 months, but then I had to wait. After I took the test, I had to wait to see if I passed. For like a week and a half, I didn't know. And then I had to go to the oral and then see if I passed. And I have to say, I didn't pass with shining colors, but I passed. And all I can say was, what a journey and what an amazing thing. And coming out of it at the end to say, I actually passed it. Even if I didn't pass it, like with people going, you were the most amazing person, I actually didn't have a pass from everybody, but I still passed.
If we go back to the idea, which has been, I think, mentioned in every podcast we have done to date, the whole idea of the life is a journey. I feel like we should just rename our website at this point. The whole idea that life is a journey and the journey is what's important. Do you feel
Right.
like then, okay, doing the process that what you just did, do you feel like that going through that, did you learn something? Was the journey worth it?
It was definitely worth it. And it was worth it more to me looking back, the fact that it was so hard. And there were still things I needed to learn, even when I came out the other end. That I, it wasn't just like a walk in the park. It was this hard thing, and I made it through, even if I didn't make it through gracefully and the whole entire time. And I would say the same thing about going through undergrad, like you and I did. We didn't exactly do it gracefully.
Have to say, and I also have to say, I wouldn't. Because I'm a housewife now, and Matt and I were talking about this. Even if Lily grows up and decides she just wants to be a housewife, we still want her to go to college, and we don't feel like that's any kind. It's not a waste at all.
No.
You hear people say, "Oh, what a waste! You got this degree, and now you're not working." Like, no, it's not a waste at all. I'm
No.
who I am because I went to college.
Right. It's this amazing growth. I always feel like the two ways to really open your mind to more of who you could be is through education or travel. Because you get outside of your known universe and you see other things. And just on that note, I wanted to say there's this silly show I watch called Modern Family, and has the guy who played in Married with Children.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he plays this guy. He married a younger lady who has a kid, a little kid. And there's this one episode where they were asking them, all the people, what does it take to be a family and a father and all this stuff. And they go through the whole episode, and at the end, the kid's father didn't show up when he promised him something, and the other guy kind of just made it better and took the kid out and did something with him. And his point was, at the end he said, being a dad or being a parent is just showing up in the end. And I was like, you know, like, it may not be graceful and things may get messy, but if you just keep doing it and keep doing it, whatever it is you're doing,
right,
then you get through it.
I was, okay, I got a story to tell you. This is from yesterday.
Okay.
So
okay.
Matt comes home. And Matt asks about the day with the children.
Mm-hmm.
It was just spring break, so I've had the kids at home with me for 11 days with no break. And Damien has got this into this thing where he just goes, why, with a really whiny voice. Why? Whenever he doesn't get what he wants. Why?
Uh-huh.
So he was already having meltdowns and fussing at me and wanting this and wanting that. And finally, I had my meltdown. And he goes, you know, I can't remember what he even asked anymore. And he said, why? And I said, I don't know, Damien. Why? Why, Damien? Why? He started crying. He said, you're yelling at me. And I said, why, Damien? Why am I yelling at you? Why? So Matt came out and said, how was your day? And I said, well, throughout the day, Lily was the best behaved of the three of us. I said, me and Damien both had a meltdown. So yeah, sometimes you just you try to be good, but that doesn't mean it happens.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a great story.
Oh.
You know, the awkward moments are the ones that you go away having the best stories of.
But I think that it's easy to think that you're a bad person, because we're talking about that, and I did feel really crappy after I calmed down, and
uh-huh.
I held him, and I gave him a chocolate chip cookie. You know, I tried to reestablish my love for him. You know, I do love you. I'm sorry that I yelled at you, but it's the same we were talking about getting through college. You know, I didn't do a good job. It's so easy to get down on yourself.
It is.
You know, and to raising kids is hard. And so, and you make that mistake where you start yelling at the kids and then you feel terrible. But it's so hard what you're going through, you know. So you graduate with a 2.6 or a 0.4.
Well, I did pull it off.
Well, you eventually graduated with honors. You pulled it way up.
It only took me 11 years.
But you know, you feel like, I don't know, you feel worthless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so easy to do that. And I know by talking to you, it puts things in perspective, or talking to Matt. And I think that's why it's people who live in their own heads, that's a dark place to be sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good to get outside and have somebody say, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, I think some of it has to do with our expectations and the little voices in our head saying, you know, you didn't jump tall buildings in a single bound. You can't outspeed a speeding bullet, you know. Well, no, you can't. But you can get through college and raise kids, or do that project that your boss wants you to do, and you know, you can get all this done. It's just, I think we have too many expectations.
I think so too. And that actually, you sent a question. It's skipping ahead some questions, but you sent, does the middle, it's the last question, does the middle tarnish the magic of the dream once you get past it?
Yeah.
And the only response I had to that was that, you know, talking about college, you have this idea when you go in that you're going to graduate with honors and you're going to get this amazing job and you're going to be amazing and you're going to be like the best in your class.
And you're then save the world with
yes.
your incredible invention.
And then 7 years later, when you graduate with your 2.6, just because one of your teachers finally took pity on you. And so I was thinking, does that tarnish the dream? And it's the only thing I think of is that at the end of it, what you saw at the beginning is not what happened, what is actually at the end.
Right.
I don't know if you've had that same experience.
Completely. And I think it tarnishes it for me right at the end, but then when I get some perspective, I realize that it's just my view has changed. So it's no longer so big and idealistic. It's more about what I'm capable of doing. And then I think each one of those experiences allows me not to be so crazily, such a crazy idealistic person the next time. So the next time I can be a little more realistic with my goals, and not then I won't be so disappointed. So it's kind of, maybe it's like a fine-tuning process of me and or you or whoever it is,
Well, what about the aerials thing? Now, I don't know if you consider yourself still in the middle with your aerials, but I mean, where along that journey do you think you are?
That's kind of like your kid's journey. It's always going to be in the middle. I don't think there's an endpoint to that one, and I'm okay with that. But also, when having big goals has also made me strive for more. So in my head, like I secretly had this vision of me being like Cirque du Soleil good, and I would never say it out loud because. But it made me push myself and push myself harder than I would have if I just said, I'll never get there.
Right.
So, I'm not, I probably never will be anywhere near that, but I'm better than I ever would have been had I not had this big goal that I'm not going to reach.
I don't think having big goals is a bad thing, whether you reach them or not.
Right.
I think it's the idea that gives you drive and it gives you purpose and you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it's the learning the difference between a goal and expectations of yourself.
Right.
Like it like on Talladega Nights. Did you see that? Where his father came to the school drunk and he told his son as he's being
Yes.
thrown out of the school, if you're not first, you're last.
Right.
And of course, later in the show, when he grew up and he saw his dad again, he's like, "But Dad, you said this." And he goes, "What the hell does that mean? I must have been drunk or something." But I think there's a little bit of that, at least when I was a lot younger. If I wasn't the best, then I wasn't anything.
Yeah, yes. And you're right, when you're a lot younger, I think that's an ideal of youth, an idea of youth. You kind of grow out of that.
Yes.
And I think you also grow out of the idea that the end is what it takes. And you can't, it reminds me of what you said before, where the wise old man says you have to go do this and you have to go do this. He doesn't just tell the person go over there and that's where it is. That's where the diamond is that's going to save the world.
It's in the Walmart aisle 7.
Right. Yeah, you have to go down the valley of time and into the cave of wonder and
The pit of despair.
and you have to do this so the person becomes the person that can save the world. And that's what you realize also when you're older, and I don't think there's any way you can tell a young person that. You have to, it's like trying to describe sex or trying to describe a color that no one's ever seen. You can't, there's some things that you have to live through. You absolutely have to live through to understand. Not just sex, I should say sex with someone you're deeply in love with, because that's when sex transcends just
Your
an act.
physical.
Yes, and it becomes something amazing and beautiful and perfect.
Yeah, kind of like eating at a buffet versus having a really amazing, chef prepared dinner.
But you can't describe that to someone. You can't describe that moment of connection between you and another person. They have to experience it. And I think it's the same thing. You can't say, you read it all over the place. Oh, it's the journey, not the end. It's the journey, it's not the end. And it's not
You're like,
until,
whatever.
yes, exactly. You're like, no, it's the goal. It's the size 8 dress. It's the, I don't know what you're talking about because I want to wear that bikini to the beach.
Yes.
But the truth is, here I am and I've graduated from college and I've got the 2.6, but the truth is the even though my GPA is crap, it's still the journey was what was important, not the
Yeah.
GPA.
And also, I found out if you're not going to graduate school, then when you go to get a job, Nobody gives a crap what your GPA is, or what classes you took, or anything else. They don't even ask to see your diploma or your transcript. They're just like, oh, you graduated? Great, okay. You're like, but don't you want to see all the work? No, not really. You're wasting my time. I could lie and say I graduated and be like, okay.
I think people have done that.
I know, and I will always thought, how could they get away with that? But now I completely understand. Oh.
But it's like I said that I wouldn't be who I am if I hadn't spent those 7 years at the University of Texas, so.
Yeah, no, and I wouldn't have been who I am. And you know, there's so much growing up to do. I look back and think, and we've talked about this before. What would it be like if the me now met the me back then? You know, when it was in high school or first went to college. I don't think we'd get along at all. I don't think we'd like each other at all.
Oh no. If I told myself, my 19, 20-year-old self, oh yeah, when you're 41, you'll be living in the suburbs, driving an SUV with two kids, and you'll be a housewife. Just I would be traumatized.
You would probably run off from school, get a tattoo, and join some crazy group just so it wouldn't happen. Oh my gosh, yes. But I mean, I'm actually thankful for the middle. I've started, another perspective I've started having is that time is passing so fast. I can't believe I'm this age, you know? I'm just like, where did the time go? What happened?
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about that a lot. And then I realize not only is it the journey, but I don't want to wish the journey away because that's just making more time pass, you know? And I'm not ready to be at the end of my story or the end of my journey. I want to enjoy it, even the hard parts. I don't want to just. I used to be like, oh, I wish this week would be over or whatever. But now I'm reluctant to say that, even at the worst moments, because I don't want to wish my life away. There's another cliche. So I'm trying to embrace the hard parts and be patient with them.
Isn't it funny? There's all these cliches and these ideas that you hear your entire life. I mean, from the time that, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, and they don't make sense to you and they can't make sense to you until you live them. And you're like, and then you start saying the cliches. You
Yes.
start repeating them.
And the weird thing is that's where I got the whole idea, you know, from that's where I started realizing the whole cliche of the old wise person in these stories, how wise they were making everything so cryptic because there's no way they could have told. They would have sounded like a cliche and then the kid would have been like, "You're a stupid old person. Get out of my face," you know? But they had to make it cryptic enough that the person goes, ooh, you know, this is stupid, but then maybe there's something to this puzzle. You know, they couldn't say, time heals all things, or, no, don't wish your life away. I was like, shut up.
Or you get defensive. You get defensive. Like when my kids were, and this happened a lot. I didn't say anything because people were so nice. But when my kids were infants, and when infants are hard work, it's the time out of my 10 years of marriage. That was the one time my marriage was truly tested, was when we had infants. When Lily was an infant, and then we had a 2-year-old and an infant, because you're on very little sleep. All of the attention goes to the baby. And you're just on call all the time, all the time. And oh shoot, where was I going with this? Oh, I remember now. Okay, so I'd be having my little baby, my little 4-month-old baby or whatever, be walking in the aisles of the supermarket. And babies, I mean, people love babies, especially women love babies. And it's older women. I'm being so stereotypical here, but it's true. Older
It's
women.
okay. I mean, I actually observed and thought, why do people do that? Because I don't want somebody handing me their baby. I'm like, the total opposite. And so I'm constantly amazed at how many people a baby comes up and they're all like, oh, look, look. And I'm just like, oh, yay.
It's older women that tend to have grandbabies. And their babies are already old, have already grown up. It's also people that have already had children as well. And you would not believe how many times I heard, "Oh, enjoy it now because they grow up so fast." I couldn't even count on two hands how many times I heard that. And here I am, I can't barely think because I haven't had sleep for months. And I'm thinking, it's easy for you to say that because you're not going through it. And all I could think of is, I just can't wait till they're older and I get some sleep because it was such hard work. And I'd be telling, and then you'd feel kind of like bad because you're like, oh no, I'm not listening to those people. I'm not enjoying it right now. I'm wishing it away.
Right.
But yeah, it's just when it's really grueling hard.
You can't not wish it away until, I think the only time you can start to try and not wish it away is when you've been through so many experiences and realize that the, here's another cliche, this too will pass, you know? But you can't know that until you've been through a lot of experiences. And you get to the end of one and you're like, oh, that's over and you'll never come back.
I see you say that, but it's, like I said, I just remember being with the infants because I'm not like you where I don't want children at all. Obviously, I had my two kids, but
Right.
I'm not, neither am I on the other end like my aunt who just adores babies and babies nurture
Right.
her soul. I'm not that end either. So I'm kind of in the middle where I want my own life. I want
Yeah.
my, you know, I don't want to be the supporting character in somebody else's story.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before.
And when you have infants, that's what you are. You no longer are a main character in your own story. Like, we're a supporting character in everybody's story, but we're also a main character in our story. When you have babies, no. You are no longer a main character. You are only a supporting character. And that doesn't suit me. That doesn't work
Yeah.
for me. And so when you're, it was just so hard. It was so awfully, terribly, terribly hard. And but you do get through it. You just kind of plod through it, and it does end. But when you're in the middle of it, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel,
Yes.
it is really, really, really hard.
It's so hard. You can't even. Yeah. Yes. Now, this doesn't last as long, but I'm in the middle of remodeling. And I would say that that has felt many times like what you're talking about, where my whole life is centered around when, you know, I'm the one at home. So I'm the one in charge of making sure everybody comes and everybody knows what's going on and to schedule everybody. So I'm often stuck inside waiting for the person and waiting for the deliveries and waiting for this. And oh, someone can't come today because something happened. So we have to push everything back and I have to call these people. So I know what you mean. It's like it's an exercise in severe patience. And learning not to be frustrated.
And I think you also dealing you have to learn how to deal with depression. It's not deep depression, but you do get a mild depression, I think, in the middle.
And I think maybe some of those also have to do with expectation of when you start something, it's so exciting and you have this big shiny vision in your head of what it's going to be like. But in your head is not that, well, this is going to take, you know, 3, 4, 5 months or 2 years or whatever the distance is, and there's going to be setbacks, and you know, you're not going to get this done when you think you're going to do it, and you're not going to get to take a vacation because there's no money for it because you're doing this thing, you know, you don't think of that, and then all of a sudden it hits you, and the vision's not so shiny anymore.
Okay, wait. I want to do something. We're going to do
Okay.
infants for me because I can't do just children. We'll do infants because my babies are no longer infants. So I'm actually sleeping now and I do get time to myself now.
Okay.
But the infant time was I never, ever, 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 ever want an infant again.
Know, I can't say I disagree with you.
I've done it twice and I'm done. But I really liked some of your questions. I thought they were really good. So, do you want to? I thought, let's just apply it. I'll apply it to infants. Do you want to apply yours to your remodeling?
Or grad school, whichever like I feel fits best, because I'm
Well,
in the middle of both of those.
I really liked question number three. How do you cope with the middle? And I added something to that. Can you plan and prepare for the middle? So how do you cope with graduate school and your, I mean, how are you coping with that? And could you have planned for it and prepared for it?
I think it's possible if you have enough experience and wisdom to plan and prepare. But I didn't have enough. I had more than the first time around, so I was more prepared. But I wasn't. It's such a long process, and it's such a unstructured process outside of classes. It's just so unstructured that I just didn't have enough experience to plan for it. So, I think it's possible if if someone grew up in the film industry behind the scenes, like their dad was a director and a producer, and they're around it all the time, I think if they were going to make a movie, they would be very comfortable in preparing for what the tasks were and what the stress was like and so forth. But if you're new and say you just went to school for film and then you went into the industry, you probably would be shocked at all the stuff that they don't teach you and the stresses and all of that. So I think it is possible.
So if you could, I mean, with hindsight being 2020, and actually you still are in the middle of both grad school and the remodel, how are you coping with it? And if you, what would you have done to plan for it and prepare for the getting frustrated and getting impatient and those points? I'm not talking about planning like I need to. I need to call these people and I need to do this and I need to get these things done. I don't mean like that. I'm talking about dealing with the emotional upheaval that comes with the middle.
I think, to be honest, I think I wouldn't have gone to grad school.
Really? I wasn't expecting that answer.
But that's only because I've learned so much that I realized there are a lot of other paths that I would have been just as interested in taking that I didn't know about until I went into this program. So I wouldn't probably have gone to grad school because on top of it, I went away and I didn't realize the stress that would cause on a relationship. So we were many states apart and that was a lot of stress. But mainly I think that I probably wouldn't have gone just because I realized that there's a lot of other really cool things that I'm interested in that I could have been preparing for. So as far as that goes, yeah, that's my answer. As far as the remodeling goes, actually, I think we're doing it right because we don't live in the place. And just remodeling itself is a pain in the butt. It always costs more than you think, and it's never in the time period you think it's going to be. That's just the way it is, no matter how well you plan. But I would say to anybody, the one thing we did do well is we don't live in the place that they're working on. I've had an experience like that went well, but I don't think it's normal now that I've gone through this and had other people tell me about their remodeling. So, yeah, I think that we plan pretty as well as you can with this one by having the funds available and not living there. But the grad school, if you're going to go to grad school, if I could have planned, I don't know. It's just a really hard thing and I don't know. So that's this. So there. That's my answer.
I don't. I was just thinking because you're saying you don't know what you've done for grad school. I was just thinking with infants. I don't think you can plan for infants. Although that's not true. You can plan breaks and stuff, so you can plan for it. And people do that. People say, make sure you get breaks, make sure you have a babysitter, and you get out and you get away. But there's a depression that goes with it. And I didn't get postpartum depression. I'm not talking about postpartum depression. I couldn't even talk about that because I didn't get it. My husband's mother got it, and a really good friend of mine got it. And so they both kind of prepared me, this is what you do to not get postpartum depression. And I was terrified of it because I've heard horror stories. So I've.
Scared you out of
They
it.
did. They fought. They. It was awful what they went through. Terrible. And so I followed their advice to the letter, and I didn't get postpartum depression.
Well, that's cool. So you can prepare.
I guess I did. Yeah, I didn't get the postpartum depression.
Yeah.
I got the
I don't know
depression.
anything about it, but maybe you did prepare well enough.
Well, I was just so terrified of it, and I had two people close to me that had gone through it, and they told me what to do to try to avoid it. Like I said, I was so afraid of it that I followed their advice to the letter. So, but I did get depressed with the infants, and that was just lack of sleep and the sheer amount of work that comes with having babies.
Maybe if you had enough money and had like three aides to help you, that would have helped with it too.
I always tell Matt that man, I was like, where's my nanny? I'm waiting for my nanny to show up. Where is she?
She's here somewhere. Come on, stop hiding her. Yeah.
You do have to, I think, I don't know. For me, there's always a bit of depression in the middle where it just gets dreary. And, but I think you can prepare for that. In fact, I think that's going to be my podcast topic next time is joy therapy, but we'll go on to that later. But you, I think you can, but I think when you're preparing for the middle, I think what you've got to do is you've, I don't know what you do about the discipline. I'm not good at self-discipline, and maybe you can talk more about that. But I think you can kind of prepare for, okay, I know I'm going to get a little depressed, so make sure I'm doing my exercise and make sure I'm eating right and make sure I'm getting my sleep, because I know that in the middle of this journey it's going to be dark and it's going to be long and it's going to be hard and I've got to keep my mood up.
Sound like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. This winter is long and it's cold and it's gonna go on forever.
He was in the middle, wasn't he?
Think that was.
But my self-discipline sucks, so only I think you have to talk about that. Mine's terrible. Mine's awful. And the middle does require it.
For me, the best thing I ever do in the middle is just get myself out of where I'm at and go somewhere else. Find a friend, go to a bookstore, do something, go to a movie, just to get me out of my head. Because a lot of my sadness comes from just me sitting, sitting there when I should be working and I don't want to. And then there's this conversation in my head, you should be doing this, but I don't want to. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, you're such a loser. Why aren't you doing this? Fuck you, I'm leaving. I think a lot of that is just getting me out of my head in those moments. A discipline. I don't know. I just discovered it recently. It's kind of a weird thing and very cool. But I also found I have a limit of discipline, and my limit is three things. And I can't be disciplined, really disciplined, in more than three things at one time.
That is very cool.
Yeah, I can. I just can't. I don't have the energy. I don't have the motivation to do that. So I can pick three things, and that's it.
Okay, I mean, like, for example, when you say three things, you mean like go to school, do this remodel, and have a healthy relationship with my husband. Those are your three things that you, that kind of
Yes.
thing?
So I've slacked on my exercise, and so I'm waiting for the remodeling to finish to pick that back up.
I see, I see.
I just don't have. I tried, and then everything becomes subpar. But I have enough in to do the three things. So yeah,
See, I haven't discovered discipline yet, so I'm still.
it's a crazy wild world.
Well, with discipline, you get to do so many cool things, you know? With discipline, discipline's awesome because of the doors that it opens. I'd love to have discipline. I've been working on discipline for years and I've yet to master it.
Yes. Well, I didn't find it until I stopped going to school and I went to work. And for some reason, that made a huge a difference. And I also found that discipline isn't fun. I like fun, and that was, I think, one of my big hindrances too, is I wanted everything to be fun all the time. And discipline's not fun at all. But there's a great feeling you get when you accomplish something. It's just that you have to. Like when I'm stretching and crying because it hurts so much, every time I do it, I have to still do it the next time, knowing I'm going to cry and it's going to hurt. But then there's, so I have to be willing to do that. But then you start feeling great when you're done with something and you've accomplished and you look back and say, wow, look what I did. And I think that builds up. And so each time you can go do the thing that's not fun. Searching for that delayed gratification.
Yeah, nothing I'm not very good at.
But I think you really have to feel the delayed gratification a couple of times before you can believe it exists. You're like, yeah, sure, I'll feel good, but I really just don't want run. So that's what I think about dedicate. What was the word? I don't know.
Discipline.
My brain just stopped.
That's okay. There's a couple times in this podcast I've been in the middle of a story going, wait, where was this going? I got lost.
Been disciplined about some things.
Well, what have I been disciplined about?
You're very disciplined when it comes to being close to your family. Like, you make an effort to be there and you make an effort to keep the relationship alive,
Well
even
then,
in those times when it's hard to do.
you're mixing discipline with, I guess, and maybe the two are completely intimate, tied together. Mixing discipline with what you consider is very important.
Well, I think it's the same thing. It's just that some things are innately important. This is just an opinion. Like, you grow up just thinking they're important, and other things you have to find the importance in.
Well, the with family, just
Because it's not the same for me.
trying to think. I'm thinking.
My brain stopped.
Well, to me, it's not discipline. I don't know if that's what I mean. I don't know if maybe that's why some people seem disciplined, because it's something that you wouldn't want to do, and you're like, how do they do that? That would take so much self-discipline for me to do that. Whereas with my family, it's like breathing, you know? It just is. There's no discipline required.
And I would say that when I first, like, kind of making a comparison, and I just realized that we both talk with our hands a lot. I don't know if I could actually communicate if my hands tied to my body.
They wouldn't have to gag you. They could just tie your hands.
Yes, when I just first did aerials, the very first time I climbed up one of those, it wasn't a matter of discipline, it was a matter of falling in love. So everything I did with it was a matter of being in love with doing aerials. And this magical feeling I had of just wanting to do all this stuff. So I never felt like, it was a discipline. So I don't know if that is the same type of thing or not. I don't know. I just know that it was out of love as opposed to work.
Right.
And the same thing when I was running a lot. I started it and then I hit this point, at first I was just running with other people because it was fun. It was during lunch break of work and we all just kind of went out there and then I got into it and it was just this magical feeling when I would run that I hated missing it. So it wasn't work anymore. It was just doing it because I loved it.
Yeah, see, that's why I was. I'm kind of in a bit of a rut at the moment, and I have been for a while. And I'm trying to change that, but I feel that's why I'm having trouble with this podcast, is because I don't want to say I'm lacking direction. That's not the right word. I'm
Passion?
joy. I'm lacking joy. And when we were talking the other day and we did our five inspirational things, I was thinking, I wanted to say, I was afterwards thinking, I should have said this. You're one of my inspirations because you live a life of joy. And
Oh, thank you.
that's my goal, is a joyful, trusting, loving life. That's my goal, you know?
Well, thank you.
And the joy is just kind of, all the color and joy is washed out of my life right now. And I'm trying to change that, but that makes it hard to do this podcast because I feel like I'm in the middle.
Yes.
My whole life is just kind of in the middle right now.
Yes. No, I totally understand that. Until I left school and worked for a while, I had no joy. And I think one of the things I discovered, and when you asked me about grad school, is when I went back to grad school, I lost my joy for a while. And I'm just starting to get it back. And this podcast and hanging out with you on it is one of my joys. So, yeah, I'm just starting to get it back, and So I think that maybe school is not a joyful place for me, and I need to stay away from it for the rest of my life.
See, for me, I think, and I hate to say it, and here I'm going to say it to the world, I think for me it's young children. And that my kids are getting older. It's just that you really do get sidelined. You as a person get you get sidelined, and it was really hard for me to be just be put on you put yourself in that position. And anyways, it was not a joyful place for me at all.
And sometimes you don't even realize that the place isn't going to be joyful until you get there. Because
No.
how could you know?
No, I wanted babies so bad, and I was so broody. I'd see a baby and I'd start crying because I wanted a baby. And then I had my babies, and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. No one told me. I love my babies, and the truth is, I would not change it for a million, anything. I want my babies, and I, if I could go back in time and do it again, I would still have my babies. It's just that young children are very hard, and they're particularly hard for me. And unfortunately, they're not. It's not a very joyful place for me. And all the joy has been seeped out with all this hard work and this constant neediness. And but they're getting older, and I'm trying to switch things. I'm trying to move
And it
things
does
around.
get easier in that respect. I mean, in other places it gets hard, as I watch Steve with his kids. So from my perspective, it gets hard in different areas, but that part eases up a lot.
Where they need, So anyways, yeah, so I feel like, I mean, I feel like I am in the middle. So if you think, how do you know you're in the middle? Well, there's lack of joy, apparently.
There's a check mark right there. We should make a list. Middle checklist. You feel completely devoid of joy. You're in the
Remodel, do you think the joys left all of that project?
Yeah, it's joyless right now. But I think that when it's done, I'll be happy. But right now, I'm just like, I don't care what it's going to look like. Just put the fucking tile up. And I think it's a matter of, it's just been like 6 months. I'm tired. I just don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to think about what cabinet we're going to buy to put in there. And we got to get it up before the tile guy leaves. And the painter's not coming for another week, but he left all his stuff in there. And now we can't get the tile guy back because the painter stuff is in his way. And I'm just like, oh my God, what's going on? Why?
That's funny.
I know the guys who are really good at what they do, and they're doing a great job. And when they can't come, something come up. But I get to the point where I'm gonna say, I don't care if your son just died. Get the hell over here. That's how I know I'm in the middle. I just need to calm down and stop thinking about it.
That's funny.
Yeah,
So.
it's kind of like your fight with Damien. Sometimes I can't talk to anybody because I know I'll lose it.
That's funny. Okay, so
Yeah.
and then how
Irrational behavior and lack of joy.
and meltdowns.
And meltdowns.
Yes. And so and then how do you cope with the middle? I'm having trouble coping, actually.
I just try to find a lot of activities to do because I know that there's a lot of times I don't study and I still get things done. So that means I have time to go do fun things like a podcast or teach aerials or meditate. So that's how I've learned how to deal with it, is to do a lot of activities that I enjoy.
Well, that's what I'm learning how to cope with the middle right now. And like I said, I
What are
think,
you doing?
well, that's I think our next podcast is going to be on. I wrote my little joy therapy list to try to bring joy back into my life, and I thought that's could be our next podcast. I wanted because I was trying to think of what to do for the next topic, and the idea that you have to meet joy halfway, and so what do you do to go bring it back into your life. So I'm learning how to cope with the middle at the moment. And I do find that eating better and exercise definitely help, without a
Yes,
doubt.
they do.
Huge impact. The problem is those take discipline to eat, to not go through the McDonald's drive-through and to get yourself to the gym.
And I was so devastated because I'm having rotator cuff problems. And so I finally gave in because it hurt so much and went to the doctor. And he's like, gave me this big shot. I guess it was like cortisone or something for the swelling. And he's like, okay, you can't do anything where you raise your arm above your head and don't pick anything up. And I'm like, but I do aerials. He's like, you can't now. And I go, but I have a show coming up. He's like, well, maybe. And I'm like, I hate you.
So how long do you have to, how long can you not lift things up?
I don't know. We'll see.
Wow.
I know. Doctors suck.
Think we should always blame the medical establishment.
I think
Oh.
that's the best course of action. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever think about the middle when you started the dream? Going back to the kids, absolutely not. But I didn't even know about the middle when I started the dream.
It's all about the commercials.
It is, and those cute babies in the mommy's arms, and the mommy never says, "Don't do it."
Would be so funny, wouldn't it? Did I ever tell you I saw this commercial once? It was like on a YouTube or something about. It's a foreign commercial, and this guy was in the store with his little boy. They're going down the aisle, and the little boy puts a bag of candy in the shopping cart, and the dad, I'm guessing it's the dad, puts it out, puts it back, and the little boy picks it up again, puts it in there, and the dad, like, puts it out again. And as this goes back and forth, the boy's getting more adamant. And then finally, he just loses it, and he runs around the store screaming and pulling things off shelves. The dad's just staring at him. He's in shock. And then all the people in the store are looking at him. And then all of a sudden it says, use condoms. But that would be great if in one of those commercials the mom would be like, oh, yeah.
To say that the last one, does the middle tarnish the magic of the dream once you get past it? I'd say in this case it doesn't. I mean, the kids are really hard and they drive me nuts and I'm depressed and I'm dealing with lack of joy, but I still wouldn't change it.
Okay. And so, what do you think, besides just the intellectual part that says, you know, I decided to have kids, it's my responsibility to do this, what is it that keeps you going emotionally in this journey? Because this is something I'm dealing with grad school, like.
Oh, well, I think, well, this is where grad school with the whole comparison might fall down. I love my kids. And you said you've already kind of regretted going into grad school and you're questioning this choice, whereas I don't regret my children and I don't question that choice. They're very difficult, but I never question the choice.
And because there's still a lot of love in there.
I adore my children.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have a really good time with them. You know,
Okay.
they're funny and they're silly and but they're just a lot of work and they take and take and take because they're 3 and 5 years old. That's what they do. They take and 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 take. So, that's just what little preschoolers do. So, but I wouldn't change the I wouldn't change my choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm glad I made the choice. So that's where I think it's different for you and
Well,
I.
it's a weird thing for me because I don't regret the experiences I've had. But now that I've had them and I have this knowledge, it's kind of like if I could go back in time, there's a lot of different choices I would make only because I have the experience to look back and say, oh, there's all this cool stuff I wish I would have done. And so now I'm realizing with all the knowledge I have from this program, I kind of wish I was doing something else. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't. So it's kind of a catch-22.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to finish because, you know, it's leading me somewhere. All paths lead somewhere, right?
You only have a year in, a year left, right?
Yeah, just about a year, maybe 15 months. I'm just on the last part, so. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, it's both, you know, it's this thing of what motivates you and keeps you going.
Right.
And there has to be something that keeps you going, regardless of how
Absolutely.
hard it is. Or you
Yes.
No matter what it is, even with kids, you might say, I can't do this if there's nothing, if there's n but there's got to be something there, or
Right.
parents can stick with it.
And there's, I have to say, Matt's mother, she went through the postpartum depression, and she actually couldn't function. And I have to say that she was really good. She called her mother, and her mother came and took the kids for, I think it was like 6 months. It was a while. So sometimes you do go, you know what? I can't function, and I need to drop out for a little while.
Wow. Yep. There's some times when you just go, that's enough. Everybody here is in danger. I need to leave. Oh, okay. Well, I think we covered the middle pretty well.
Yes, and we're already like at 45 minutes or something. We should just give up on that whole 30-minute mark.
You know, every time we do this, I think, I wonder if we have enough to talk about. Yeah, I guess we do.
Okay, well, yeah, I think unless
And
you.
just on that note, real quick, I had a really good friend, and we did a road trip from, I think I told you about her, road trip from Rhode Island to Texas. I helped her move back to Texas from Rhode Island, so I flew up there. And it was me, her cat, in a U-Haul pulling her car for 3 days. And I was sure that after 3 days we'd run out of things to say, but we didn't, and we had such a blast, just on and on.
That is cool. That is
Yes.
very cool.
It was a great road trip and had a lot of fun. Tore up a Dairy Queen. Went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and went to the chocolate factory. And so anyways, but I always thought, oh, we're gonna run out of things to say because we're gonna be stuck in this thing together for 3 days. But nothing, just on and on. So those are the best.
Okay, well, I guess do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Had a great time.
Yes.
Here's to the middle.
Yes, I think we should revisit this topic in a year, or
Okay.
maybe 6 months.
Oh, and also, happy late St. Patrick's Day to everybody. And happy, what is it? Vernal equinox?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to Steve.
Shout out
Woohoo!
to our cheerleader. Yay!
Yay,
Every
Steve made
podcast should have a cheerleader.
So yeah, and I think that's it. And I'd be love to revisit this, see what we're doing, if we're still even in any kind of middle.
Okay. And maybe have more ideas on how to cope with the middle. I mean, how to, you know,
In hindsight.
yes, in hindsight, exactly.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks again for joining us on Benign Chaos as we take a rambling journey through the universe. I'm Shalri.
And I'm Angel.
And we bid you adieu,
Sayonara.
arrivederci,
Ciao.
and
Arrivederci.
farewell. Until next time.